The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Yeah.
Are we live now?
How?
What is up, everyone? Jose Youngs here with MMAfighting.com for another Wednesday episode of the A-Side live chat. Returning this week from, where were you, Casey?
Up in Big Bear.
That's what I thought.
Returning the mountains.
Returning from Big Bear, Casey Lydon, and returning. Well, she was in LA, but she just hadn't been on the last few weeks. But returning to another episode is Alex Savage. So, Alex, we'll start with you. How's life in lockdown?
You know, I feel like nothing's really changed since like April. Everyone keeps like texting me, like, what's going on in California? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I've just been sitting at home and just gonna enjoy the holidays and just, I don't know, take it day by day. Doesn't feel any different though.
Well, Arizona's not locked down, but we're in awful shape. So it's not like I'm going anywhere anyway. So we're all in the same boat. Casey, how's life in Englewood? Still up? Well, I don't know what it is up these days, but how's life?
It's good for me because I just got a negative test result. So that's good. For a bunch of other people, it sucks. And lockdown sucks. It's not quite like how it was back in March and April and stuff, but just like the attitude is different, but technically it's kind of the same thing. But this next couple months is gonna suck, but fights, yeah, let's talk about fights. Yeah, let's talk about yeah, no more pandemics. Yeah,
let's talk about fights. And before we kick into it, I want to say we got a lot of positive feedback from Andres and Ants' appearance last week. A lot of people were very into the hip-hop talk we did, so maybe we'll do it again, maybe we'll run it back. Casey will probably be there next time, but yes, I've heard all of the positive feedback. To be continued down the road. Did you watch last week's, Casey?
No, sir, I did not.
It was a good one. You've known Andres for a long time. He's one of the most articulate journalists in the entire MMA landscape. So yeah, he was fantastic. Go buy his book. It's $10. It's about to Pimp a Butterfly. I'll keep plugging that until I die. But anyway, Casey, what's our first question?
Just to reiterate, Andres Hell, freaking awesome. And Ant Walker, whatever.
We immediately after that, after the episode, we started a group chat called Beats and Beatdowns, where we just talk about fighting and hip hop.
nice. All right, first question, what we got here?
From Sam Harris 999, if Aldo loses to Vera, Does the UFC release him? Also, what other big names get released? So we'll use this question to jump off into the big revelation that Dana White just unveiled. Was it last weekend that he thinks up to 60, maybe 60 fighters are going to get cut from the UFC in the upcoming weeks? We've gotten a lot of questions phrased like, what fighters do you think will get released? If you had to pick, where should they go? This and that. So we'll just use this to talk about it. But specifically, if Jose Aldo loses to Marlon Vera, does the UFC release the former featherweight kingpin? Casey, I'll start with you.
I kind of hate questions like this because it's such a negative question. It's like negative hypotheticals too, which isn't necessarily fun to talk about. But if Aldo loses to Vera, does UFC release him? Like everything, it only depends on money. If Aldo makes X amount of money and the UFC feels he's not worth that anymore, yes, they will release him. If Aldo's fighting for $5, you know, he can lose, you know, 1,000 times in a row and they will still book him. But based on what Aldo most likely makes now, if he loses, I don't know. If Vera one rounds him and just, you know, knocks him out, then maybe. But I think Aldo still has one or two more losses in him in the UFC before the UFC releases him.
I agree, because I think of all the fighters that have been released so far, including Yoel Romero, apparently Anthony Johnson in the UFC parted ways, Rachel Ostovich, Matt Wyman. If I'm forgetting a few, I apologize. But Jose Aldo has the biggest name. Like, he's still a draw. He's still a big name in Brazil. Like, he does decent number in terms of YouTube and Twitter analytics and stuff on our site. So he's still a draw. I think, like you said, he has a few losses left before he's officially released. Also, there's obviously some fun fights for him to take. It's not like he's way past his prime. He's like, who's he losing to? Like, Peter Yan is the champion, and then Marlon Moraes is one of the best bantamweights in the world. And I actually think he won that fight. But Alex, if Jose Aldo loses, does the UFC release him?
It wouldn't surprise me. I think he fits the exact the checklist that they're going by. You know, you're kind of getting up there in age. You're a higher paid fighter. That would make, what, 4 losses in a row? I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. I think that there's a certain type of fighter that they're looking to cut. And yeah, he's a big name, but, you know, Romero was a fan favorite. Ostovich certainly had fans. It wouldn't shock me, I guess.
Yeah, it would not shock me in the least. But I, like Casey said, I think it depends on how he loses.
Also, we're not privy to all the details, but maybe a lot of these fighters off coming off losses, the UFC is like, hey, take a pay cut, you know, and they're like, yeah. No. You know, so I can see that. Like, they go, we just don't want to pay that. Whatever Aldo's asking for, they don't want to pay. And go, well, we'll pay you, you know, $75,000, you know, whatever. And I really think it depends on money. That would suck if Aldo.
I heard Jose Aldo might move to Florida. I'm not 100% on that, but I don't know why that's in my head. Someone might have told me that. Like, he's in the process or wants to move to Florida, maybe for like his kids, like education, stuff like that. I'm not 100%, but for whatever reason, that thought is in my head. So I'll figure it out. But what are other big names you think will get released, Casey? I don't like this question either because it's super negative and I don't want people to lose their job, obviously, in a pandemic.
I don't even want to answer that question because, I mean, I would feel like, imagine if we got a question. It's like, hey, so MMA fighting, there's a depression. Who's getting laid off first? You know, it's just like it's a little too hypothetical. I just don't want to answer it.
I agree. This is a sad question. I don't want anyone to get cut during the middle of a pandemic.
What fighter is most likely?
There are some fighters that like Shogun, maybe not because like I think they might do an Anderson Silva. Like, you're just, we don't want to see you fight anymore. So they just might let him go and he might go fight somewhere else. But like cut, like firing, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea.
I mean, like the releases like Rachel Ostovich, Matt Wyman, those all make sense. Those have nothing really to do with financial reasons. I think they're not UFC caliber anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think that, but guys like Aldo, Romero, Anthony Johnson to a lesser extent, but he wasn't technically under contract. I think those are all financial things.
I think we might see some. I think depending how his performance goes, Anthony Pettis might be one against Alex Morono because he's probably making a lot of money. The fight against Alex Morono kind of caught me off guard in terms of matchmaking because, like, look at Anthony Pettis's like last 15, 20 opponents. Like, they're the top five of their divisions or big names. This has... And I don't, this is all hypothetical. I have absolutely no idea if this is true. This reminds me of like when Benson Henderson took the, all those last minute fights so you could fight out his contract, or Josh Koscheck, or they want to just plow through their contract and then maybe get a bigger name. Maybe Anthony Pettis wants to join his brother in Bellator because he's seeing how much Sergio is making off of sponsors and from all of that. I think if Anthony Pettis jumped into the lightweight title picture, like, Pitbull versus Anthony Pettis, I'm all in for. Or even like Michael Venom Page versus Anthony Pettis, I'm all in for. That's just all me, hypothetical. Like, I have absolutely no idea. But if Anthony Pettis is trying to plow through his contract and get a bigger contract, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, you go for it.
Yeah. I mean, Sergio basically said the same thing. Sergio was – because Sergio left the UFC on a victory, is correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He left on a victory. And basically just said, oh, I just got a much better offer over here. And, you know, yeah. So I'm here. I'm a prize fighter.
Like,
so
I maybe
Anthony's the same way.
Yeah, like if his older brother is like, well, I'm not going to fight for the title anytime soon. I can make a ton of money over at Bellator and get my sponsors back.
Yep.
Wouldn't surprise me. Because, like, Josh Koscheck did that same thing, remember? Like, he just took, like, real close fights back-to-back just to plow through it. Mm-hmm. I remember Benson Henderson is like, I'll fight Brandon Thatch, and then I'll turn right around and fight in the South Korea card. And then I think that was his last win, right? Was it the Masvidal, his last fight in the UFC in South Korea?
I think so. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, like he was just taking every fight so he could get through it. And then he hopped over to Bellator and made some money.
Wouldn't surprise me if Pettis was talking about his brother, because now obviously he knows the details of his brother's move to Bellator. So maybe mm-hmm. he's like Bellator treats him well. He gets paid, you know, what they feel is fair market value, I guess. And yeah, and maybe, yeah, you're right.
And what if they do a, go ahead.
I think we forget that, like, sometimes to the fighters and to the fans, the way that they perceive the UFC may be very different. Like, to the fighters, it's just a job. It's just switching companies. It's just getting a new job. And so, like, yeah, the UFC kind of has this reputation, but if it does come down to just the bottom line on your contract, yeah, I'm ditching the UFC in a heartbeat. I don't care, like, who's watching me. You know, at that point, just cash the paychecks. At that point, it's just a job, so.
Right. Or Anthony Pettis could just go to PFL, win the lightweight tournament, get $1 million. Or if Bellator does a lightweight tournament, and Anthony Pettis hops in and he wins, he gets the title, he gets the championship and $1 million. And doesn't he get, like, some champagne thing from 50 Cent and stuff like that? I'm not 100%. But
worth it.
Worth it.
Dolan S in the YouTube comments, you guys are all high. UFC is not releasing Aldo anytime soon. Former featherweight GOAT, nowhere even close to UL name-wise. Look how many losses they let Anderson have. Yeah, Anderson was also the middleweight GOAT, and he had a bunch of losses in a row, and they were all to really high-level competition. They let him go. So if Jose Aldo, like, gets beat down again, why wouldn't they do it?
Yeah,
I don't want it to happen. I think he has a few left, but, like, what if he lose, like, did you watch the Fight Island documentary, Casey?
I did not watch that promotional film. I did not.
It was
I heard about it. Yeah.
Well, the first episode was very, like, rah, rah, look at us, pat us on the back. And then after that, it got way too dramatic. Like, when John Anik had that, like, COVID scare.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, John Anik. And then, like, John Anik might not be able to do commentary. Is Fight Island over already? And stuff like that. So it was a little over the top. But there was one when Dana was watching the Aldo-Peter Yan fight where Dana was, like, really pissed at the ref for how much damage he let Jose Aldo take. So if Jose Aldo has another beatdown like that again, it wouldn't surprise me, like we already said. But if he's any sort of competitive and it goes to a decision, or if it's another split decision, or he gets robbed like he did against Marlon, then I can imagine they'll give him another fight.
Oh, and Dalton, our commentary has nothing to do with how stoned we are. We're perfectly fine being stoned. Like Alex, I mean she is just ripping bong hits when off. Like that's every time I cut away to the camera. By the way, Dalton is just Alex, just massive bong hits and dabs and stuff. It's,
and doing and flinging and just flinging nunchucks around.
Yeah. So,
Dalton. That's a perfect name to be like Dalton.
Dalton.
Dalton obviously has a lot of faith in the UFC. Good for you, Dalton.
All right. Next question. What is? I don't want that one. Here we go.
Seems from Mark Mantegna on Twitter. It seems like almost every time a top 10 fighter wins, they call for a title fight. Or Connor, spelled incorrectly.
Is it spelled incorrectly?
When they deserve it or not. Is that a good strategy? I mean, it's not a bad strategy if that's what you're saying. Like, if you're in the top 10 and you win, why not call for a title? Like, what's the worst they can say? No? Like, go fight someone else and get another paycheck? Like, it's not a bad strategy, but it doesn't always work out for you, right? Right, guys?
You have to keep your name in the headlines. Like, you just – that's the way that this works, unfortunately. Just keep screaming for it. You got to ask for it. Ask and you shall receive, as my grandmother would say. No one's going to give you stuff. No one's just going to hand it to you. You have to just keep pressuring them. If it works, hey, good for you. If it doesn't, exactly what, like you said, what did you lose? So,
right.
Who's he talking about in particular? Has there been a fighter, I guess, non-ironically asking for a title fight? I think Derek Lewis asked in his first fight, just for fun. But
I think Charles Oliveira has, like, pretty much his last few, he's been like title fight or top three or something like that, which is fine. I don't think he was going to get a title fight, but he's the only one that comes to mind.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yes, it is a good strategy. As I would say, the strategy I don't like, I mean, he won, so it's good, but Marvin Vettori, I just didn't understand him trashing every fighter above him. And since like what has Izzy done? I'm like, boy, he beat you. You know, it was kind of, he's beat like six top 10 fighters or something like that. It was just kind of weird. Like, I don't like when fighters just trash the champ as if like they suck. But yeah, it is a good strategy.
I don't like when opponents or fighters trash their opponent's skill set leading up to a fight. Because if you win, you beat a bum. And if you lose, you lost to a bum. Like, make it at least interesting.
Yeah. Like, whoever you're fighting is the best fighter in the world. It's just too bad I'm slightly better than him.
Right.
And I will prove it this Saturday night. Just pay your $60.
Maybe he's talking like when Tyron Woodley won, he immediately called out Nick Diaz and George St. Pierre, which is fine. But I think people were just kind of soured on. I get it, Casey, but people were soured on it because Nick Diaz hadn't fought in like 2 years, and GSP was retired. And that's what at the time, the 100%, like after he beat Robbie Lawler, the welterweight division kind of opened up. He had all these contenders underneath him, and he had fought, like that was his first fight since he beat Kelvin, like in more than a year. So he basically took 16 months off, beat Robbie Lawler, and called for Nick Diaz. So I get it. It soured people. Didn't blame him. Shoot for the stars, but people were not very happy with Tyron Woodley.
Let's go to longtime commenter.
Joseph Bowes in the YouTube comments. Is Tony Ferguson and Charles Oliveira at a crossroads when they meet Saturday? Who knows how long it will be before we know what is going on with the lightweight championship? So, yes, Charles Oliveira is fighting Tony Ferguson in a 3-round co-main event this weekend at UFC 256. Charles Oliveira, I believe it was an interview with our own Guillermo Cruz, said that if he beats Tony Ferguson, how can you not give him a title shot? Don't know about that, just because it's the lightweight championship and there's a man named Conor McGregor in that division, and they're probably going to want to give him a title shot no matter what. Case, I'll start with you. Is Tony Ferguson and Charles Oliveira at a crossroads when they meet this Saturday?
I feel like I know why he asked this question, because I think I actually saw a clip that Ara Hawani, former colleague of ours, released with him in D.C., and they were very heavy. Like, this is a big crossroads fight for Tony Ferguson. And actually, I'm in disagreement with that. I think this is a big crossroads fight for Charles Oliveira, because he finally got that big fight that he's been wanting. this is it. You know, right? As Charles Oliveira fought anyone this high ranked before? It's been years if he has. And
he's fought people in the past that have gone on to become big deals, but at the time they fought, they weren't this highly ranked.
Yeah, okay. So this is a big crossroads fight for Oliveira. If he loses this, it just sucks for him. He's not back at the line, but he'll have to win 3-4 more times. He'll have to beat 3 or 4 more top 10 fighters before he even gets a shot at the number one contender. I think if Tony Ferguson loses, it sucks, obviously, because you got beat up and, you know, you lose half your paycheck. But, I mean, Tony Ferguson, he draws. He moves the needle. And look at the embedded. It's just a bunch of people, but it's just a bunch of clips of Tony crawling up and down the stairs. People just love, like, Tony's kind of like that new Diego Sanchez, but still a top elite fighter.
I do want to correct myself on something I said, where about some of these fights that he had, rankings didn't exist at the time, but these are the people that Charles Oliveira has lost to in the UFC, because he entered the UFC undefeated 12-0, then won a couple fights in a row. He lost, his first loss was to Jim Miller, and then he got TKO'd by Cowboy Cerrone, then got KO'd by Cub Swanson, lost a decision to Frankie Edgar. These are all at featherweight, by the way. Lost TKO to Max Holloway, got tapped by Anthony Pettis, got tapped by Ricardo Lamas, got finished by Paul Felder, and he hasn't lost since that fight to Paul Felder, UFC 218 in Detroit. So he's only lost to the best of the best. Some of those were obviously at featherweight. I think the Anthony Pettis, some of these fights he might have struggled making weight, or I can't quite remember. But he's only losing to the best. So if he loses to Tony Ferguson, it just shows that Charles Oliveira can climb the mountain, and then he might not make it quite over the edge. Massive step up in competition from the last few years anyway.
You know, it's funny. It's crazy. Of all those losses, I think has Jim Miller fought for a title before? He's never had a title shot. Okay. So Jim Miller and Paul Felder were the only losses on there, who haven't fought for a title. And both those guys are still, at some point in their career, were top 5 lightweights. So that's, Charles Oliveira's resume is incredible. He's not even 30 yet? Is he 30?
No.
Yeah, so like he's like maybe at his prime. I don't know. He came to the UFC.
Oh, he's 30. He's 31. He's 31.
Okay, so he should be right at his prime. He's at 50. The whole him going to 45 was a massive mistake. Let's just agree on that. But
he started at 45. Well,
him staying at 45 and not just accepting that he's outgrown that weight class. But I don't think this is a crossroads fight for Tony Ferguson if he loses. For Oliveira, it's not like, you know, you're never gonna get a title shot again, but man, we're not gonna see him for a couple more years this high on a pay-per-view or in a high stakes match, unfortunately for Charles Oliveira.
I talked about if he comes up short, I would not, if Charles Oliveira loses, I would not hate a rematch with Paul Felder.
That's terrific. Yeah, that'd be a terrific fight, actually.
They both be coming off losses to high profile opponents.
Yeah. Cool. Anything you want to add, Miss Cool Alex?
No.
I like that.
I just get so antsy to see the next question. I just want to move
okay,
on.
Okay, all right. You need like a little bell to move it on, guys. Move on. All right, here we go.
From Lucas Melodic on Twitter, who do you think will be the Bellator light heavyweight champion at the end of 2021? Nemkov, Bader, Anderson, or Johnson? And how would you book Nemkov's first title defense? So, Anthony, the Johnson in question is, of course, Anthony Johnson. The Anderson in question is, of course, Corey Anderson. Ryan Bader lost badly to Nemkov in a fight that probably could have been stopped a lot sooner if anyone watched that fight. So I'll leave it to you guys. Who is the Bellator champion at light heavyweight this time, 1 year from now?
Casey.
I absolutely think Nemkov is unbelievably good. He could be the best light heavyweight in the world right now. We just don't know because we just have to see him fight more. But I think he has that potential. What he did to Bader was incredible. And that's under the assumption Bader had a good weight cut and he was fighting at his best. course, when he fought Bader, Bader hadn't cut the light heavyweight in a couple of years.
A long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just called a couple of years. So that's out there, you know, as far as like questions for Nemkov. Maybe he's got Bader on a bad day. But I think I think Nemkov beats Anderson, Corey Anderson, and Michael Johnson. I'm sorry, Michael Johnson. Anthony Johnson. Maybe he'll fight one time. I doubt he'll fight one time. I'm sure he'll come straight in for a title shot.
No, I think Corey Anderson will fight Nemkov next because he beat Manhoef, and I want to see Bader and Rumble run it back because Rumble crushed Bader in the UFC. So they could rematch Bader and Johnson right away.
Is it necessary, though, do you think? Bader would win necessary? Or lose. Yeah, well, I mean, does Anthony Johnson need a win to get a title shot rather than just come? You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he hasn't fought since he got submitted by DC. He's only lost to DC twice. Those are his two title fights. And he fought in what? How long? 2-3 years? I think he needs one fight. One fight. Who also is coming off a loss to the current champion, needs one win, then I would say Anthony Johnson needs one win.
I would like, as much, I think that's smart for Anthony Johnson. I don't want to see it against Bader. Actually, I prefer the boxing model, and I would just like a showcase fight. Well, I guess Bader.
Manhoef again?
Manhoef again. I have to look at the roster a little more deeply for the 205ers, but I feel like there's a borderline top 15 light heavyweight in Bellator's roster that Anthony Johnson.
Oh, what about Phil Davis?
They've already fought, and no one ever looks good.
I remember, I was there.
But no one ever looks good defeating Phil Davis. Who looks good defeating Phil Davis? Like that's the crazy part. Like, has Phil Davis ever been, like, seriously hurt in a fight? He just kind of loses every once in a while.
He got pretty pieced up by Anthony Johnson.
That was
Rumble's first fight back.
Was he ever dropped or, like, really, like, that's what I mean. Like, he just kind of, I feel that, I from what I remember, that fight was kind of, okay, Anthony Johnson looked like the better fighter, but it wasn't like he just, oh my
God. He got crushed. He got crushed by Rashad Evans. He didn't get finished, but like Rashad Evans got him in full crucifix in that fight.
Phil Davis?
Yeah.
When was that?
That was Phil Davis' first loss. That was the second ever Fox card.
Was it the main event?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So,
because Rashad got the title fight off that performance.
Yeah. It would be risky running Anthony Johnson with Phil Davis. I think Anthony Johnson, you just want him to bring out a warm body out there, let him smoke
Machida.
Machida might. That's actually a good one. That's very cruel to Machida, but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that would just look mean. That would make Anthony Johnson look like just a jerk. Machida's like, I don't know.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What do you think, Alex?
It looked like we did to Glover.
Yeah.
I agree.
Nailed it. I need to give you the little air horn button so you just go, yeah, I agree.
I don't think I've ever had access to like the Bellator fight channels. Like, I don't pay for them. And so I'm just out of the loop.
Oh.
Bellator has
they're 205ers.
There's Like their 205 division is good. They're well to like they have a lot of, like they have amazing fighters. I just wish like this like James Gallagher could be a huge star. And I just want to see him take a finally take a jump up in competition. I think him versus Sergio Pettis is the fight to make. And because if he beats Sergio Pettis, that answers all of the questions we have about James Gallagher. And if Anthony Pettis beats James Gallagher, he gets that rub, and he's fighting for the winner fights for the title, fights Juan Archuleta. I think that's the fight to make.
Now you do Archuleta Pettis right now. I think
you that's did. Fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. I'm just trying to think of James Gallagher because we have so many questions about him. Because he's really talented on the ground.
James Gallagher versus Patchy Mix.
Why not? That's
ready,
cool.
Are we ready for that yet? Because yeah. I'm super hyped for that one.
Michael Venom Page needs a step up in competition.
Of course.
Now, like I'm tired of him fighting cans.
Wow, we're talking about light heavyweights, and now you're pissed off about MVP fighting cans. Come on.
Yeah, man. Like I've said this a million times. Michael Venom Page started his turned pro before Corey Sanhagen, and look at Corey Sanhagen's doing. He's wheel kicking Marlon Moraes in main events, and Michael Venom Page is just fighting people that don't have Wikipedia pages over in Europe. It bothers me.
Who do you think's making more money, though?
Don't know.
Yeah. I'm just saying. All right.
Wikipedia pages. The true mark of a successful fighter.
Dude. When Justin Gaethje didn't have a Wikipedia page, even two wins into his UFC career, it was unreal.
What does that mean, Wikipedia? I mean, I know obviously what it means, but
what Wikipedia is.
Yeah, but what does it mean to get a page?
Here's the thing. So I used to work for a guy who wanted a Wikipedia page for himself, but there are all kinds of rules about who can create a page for you.
I know. Did this person work at Fansided?
No. This was before that.
I know someone that wanted a Wikipedia page from Fansided.
This boss actually really does not like me. He was one of the reasons that my employment was put on hold when they had to check references and past employment. Oh, he said he lost my file. I'm like, well, you have to keep files for 7 years. So that's on you. But no, yeah, this guy was he was an egomaniac. That's why he wanted a Wikipedia page. And so he's looking into it. He's like, can you figure out how I get this? I'm like, I don't know. I think you have to be somebody, but there's rules to it.
There are. So Wikipedia page, I like Tapology, and I think Sherdog is fine. I love Wikipedia's mixed martial arts rec. Like if you go to a fighter, because you can see where the fight was, you can see what card it was, you can see if the person missed weight, and you can see if they got a performance bonus, and you can see if there was a championship. Like Sherdog doesn't have any of that. It just has when, how it happened, and where it was. Tapology, you have to expand all these boxes and everything. Wikipedia is right there. It's just a straight line across. It's a chart. And I think it is, if you win, it's in green. You lose, it's in red. If it's a no contest, it's in white. I think it's the best way to figure out wins and losses. But if you don't have a Wikipedia page, you can't look at that. You got to go to Tapology or Sherdog.
But also,
I like Wikipedia's fight tracking.
But if you go to Wikipedia, you think Todd Duffy versus John Belante is happening on every card.
That's true. That is true.
That's the fun part about Wikipedia. You can just put anything you want. And it's if no one notices, cool, whatever.
Yeah, now Wikipedia kind of yeah, they take stuff down real quick now. They employ some people that will track you down. Because we tried something in high school where we basically covered all of our tracks for a very no-name actor. And we went to every Wikipedia page that could possibly lead to him and wrote stuff about him. And within 5 minutes, it was all gone.
I saw this question pop up, but I don't. You know what? It's about fight cuts. I'm not putting any questions up, commentaries. If it's about, is this guy gonna get cut? Because I just don't want to be that negative. There's too much negative crap right now. I like this question actually. I'm a long-time user, long-time commenter.
Tristan Gordet, I'm pretty sure, asked this question 4 or 5 times in the comment section. Think slams like what Levitt did to Wyman should be banned. Levitt said that it should, and Cruz on the broadcast also pointed out why this is the reason punches are allowed in the back of the head. So, yes, Jordan Levitt basically decapitated Matt Wyman with a slam. Matt Wyman's head just clattered off the canvas and he was unconscious. Pretty terrifying. Levitt actually left the octagon to apologize to to Matt Wyman's like corner because I think he had family.
His wife was in his corner.
So, it's a tough question because I've never been slammed on my head like that. I've only seen it. But like Rose got dropped on her head. Who else has been slammed and knocked out?
Roxanne Modafari twice.
So if I would ask the fighters first, but Alex, what do you think? Because you're making a grimacing face right now.
I hated watching that. I really did. Like just the sound and whenever it's somebody's head, like it makes me feel icky watching, especially knowing that like how much these people are getting paid. I feel like, you know, some sort of like, for my pleasure. I don't know if it should be banned because I think it's kind of picking up and dropping people is kind of just like emotion. And sometimes you can't always control where people are going to go. So I don't know. I don't know about banning it. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense in my head, but I don't like it.
I don't know if it'll get banned or it should get banned, but like, remember who was it that fought Shorty in Utica? Jared Brooks knocked himself out.
That was great.
Trying to drop Shorty on his head. And Shorty then jumped up and swarmed and got the W. But Case, should this move be banned? Should it be added to the 12-6 elbows rule set?
No, it shouldn't be banned. The slam that Levitt did against Wyman should not be banned because as much as that was a great victory and a great paycheck for Levitt, dude, that was all Wyman just being foolish and Wyman that was just weird by Wyman. Like he actually let go then got back on. Like I don't even understand why he did that. But yes, and that's why it was so kind of disgusting that the slam. It wasn't because anything Levitt did or the slam itself. It's just like it was just Wyman just wasn't a competitive top level lightweight and he shouldn't have been in there. And obviously the UFC released him. I think the UFC knew that too. Obviously spikes, you know, I think like, you know, DDT, like power driver type spikes, brain busters. Those definitely should be banned. Cause that is how we will get a major, major catastrophic injury in the cage.
People always bring up the Andrade Rose slam, but I don't think like watching it that Andrade meant to spike her on her head. I think she was just trying to turn her around and flip her and Rose just happened to land like that. It wasn't on purpose or anything. But yeah, if someone's going to pick up someone like a tombstone pile driver and just spike their top of their head, that should be a no-go because that's even banned in the WWE.
Yeah.
And that's like staged fighting because of how debilitating that, because of what happened. Stone Cold had like literally broke his neck in the ring. And you see all these things happen to certain people. But yeah.
But no
pile drivers, but slams. I don't think they should be banned.
Oh, the move that scares the crap out of me. I can't remember how it's been a few years since I've seen the UFC, but it's when someone gets a rear naked choke and the guy who's getting choked stands up and tries to throw them down with the guy's head, like boom, right there.
Oh, yeah.
And I know in amateur fights, there's been a couple serious neck injuries where permanent, you know, paralysis from those type of slams, but I'm pretty sure those are illegal. I'm not even sure. I don't know if those are illegal in jiu-jitsu tournaments, to be honest, but maybe someone can answer that question. But those are but the slam that Levitt did, I think those are fine.
Yep.
Bottom line.
Jorah Levitt is one of the nicest people in the world too. Absolute nicest guy. Huge bookworm. Is like when last time we spoke, he was like, he was trying to read a book a week for the whole year or something crazy. Or he's trying to read like 100 books in a year. And he was deep into his Stephen King part of his run. So yeah, I like that guy a lot. Cool. Interesting cat.
That's cool. Just out of curiosity, does he have a day job? Is he a full-time fighter? Is he a coach? Like, what is he?
I don't know if he has a full. I don't know if he has a full-time job. I'm not 100%. But because I was at his contender series fight when he won, and he accidentally announced that his wife was pregnant.
Oh, nice.
Or something like that. He's like, she was trying to keep. He like announced it. He's like, oh man, we haven't even told her mom or something like that. It was funny. He's funny cat.
I just love fighters that can just kind of, you know, redefine what masculinity is. Yeah. I'm just like, I just love those type of guys. Like, guys, like the, if you bumped him into, if you bumped at him at a bar, you'd be like, hello, you know, I won't fight. You'd be like, okay.
He's the one that did the dirty dancing celebration where he got lifted up in the air by his cornerman. And then so the commentators for his contender series fight were comparing him to Ryan Hall, where he's like really nonchalant and just kind of a goof. And I told him that, and he was like, that is the nicest thing anyone has ever told me. Oh. And he's such a mark for Ryan Hall that he's really? Like, that is the best. Oh, he's like that. He's like, yeah, that guy's my hero. So like, thank you. Funny guy. Real interesting individual.
The less tough a fighter looks, the more I'm a fan. I just, yeah. I love that. Yeah. Anyone can look tough, whatever.
Or if they look tough, but they show up in a pink romper like Juan Adams.
Yeah.
His toenails painted at media day. Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
All right. Juan Adams' interview when we were all in Houston was one of the most interesting interviews I've done in a long time. Because I had a feeling I could ask that man anything in the world about anything, and he would answer it like completely serious.
Yeah.
All right. Big question coming up. Big question. Here we go.
Alex, who's your favorite fighter and why, from Simon Crokefield? I bet I know the answer to this.
It's all you, Alex.
Yeah, everybody knows my favorite fighter is Robert Whittaker.
Yeah.
And I'll give you my second favorite because it's for similar reasons, and that's Volkanovski. I think these two people embody exactly what it takes to be a UFC champion. And because it's more than just being an amazing fighter, it's being an amazing person. I mean, Volkanovski just released like a children's book about, you know, being like comfortable in yourself and like fighting. He's trying to like destigmatize it and what it actually, you know, signifies and things like that. And like Robert Whittaker is just such a good person. And they portray that like Dustin Poirier would fall along those same lines, like doing amazing things in the octagon and outside of it. Those are the people I want to see on TV. Those are the people I want to represent the sport. Because when you talk about being a UFC fan to, you know, your family who doesn't watch or people on the street, like they think you're like, you know, some tap out dork living in a trailer. But, you know, the sport is so much more than that. And I think Robert Whittaker really brings the respect to it. Volkanovski, the same thing. And I mean, there's a lot of fighters who fall under this. Benil Dariush, I would also put in that category as well. So, good people.
Yeah, those are awesome people to pick. Robert Whittaker's Casey, you've been interviewing Robert Whittaker for years. He was a brutal interview for a long time. Like, he just did not want to talk about anything. And then, lately, he's been opening up. And Volkanovski is one of my favorite interviews ever. Because he's like one of those fighters that you could ask him about anything, and he would give you an honest answer. Like, good choices, though. Really good choices. Yeah. UFC could do a lot worse than having those guys at the top of their rankings. Mm-hmm. Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega is going to rule, too, whenever they make that fight.
What is up? Girl,
I know. Do you think Bellator needs to fix their promotional engine? Didn't even know there was a card this week. But Farland should be promoted better. Thank you for the best weekly show around. You are welcome, Lucas Bafer. Lima McFarland is putting her flyweight title on the line this weekend. Is this Bellator 254?
254, yeah.
So the UFC and Bellator's numbers have finally started to align. So, like, UFC is 256, the Bellator is 254, so it's just throwing me for a loop now. Is she the longest reigning Bellator champion right now?
I think
in terms of like how many defenses.
I think if she wins this Saturday, she will have the most defenses of any Bellator champion. I think that's what I read.
And more importantly, former co-host of the A-Side Live Chat for 1 week. A lot of people want to see her fight Valentina. Obviously, probably never going to happen, but she's very honest with her assessment where she's like, Valentina is like a complete martial artist and this and that. Of course, I think she would take that fight. Don't know if it's going to, I doubt it will ever happen, but should Alima be promoted better? Casey, I'll start with you because you've spent more time around Alima than probably most journalists have. Mm-hmm. So what do you make of Lucas's question?
First part of the question, do you think Bellator needs to fix their promotional engine? Yes, unfortunately. I don't want to crap on Coker because I think they're doing a great job with their resources they have, but there's another super giant, super competitive flyweight fight this weekend, well, this week too, and just people aren't talking about it. And I think this is McFarland's toughest competition by far.
Mm-hmm. Undefeated.
Yeah, Juliana Vasquez is very good. I think both of these women are top five overall in the whole world, if you put all the promotions together. And I just think this is such a terrific fight. Unfortunately, I get for Bellator, Vasquez, she is hard to promote. I watched her interview. I was trying to, her scrum interview. I was like, okay, let's pull some stuff out. And it was just kind of nothing there, you know, as far as like creating interest. She's just very kind of straightforward. You know, I fight tough, you know, I win fights. And, but you just got to get creative. I don't know. So they do need to fix the promotional engine because that's a great fight. And it just, fans don't know about it. So that kind of sucks. And, it was a yes or no question. So yes, I wish everyone was excited about that fight as I was. That's all. I feel like as fans, you should be. It's good.
You mentioned in the beginning when you started talking about like the resources that Bellator has and stuff, but the thing is, like, I mean, Instagram influencers will tell you before anyone, it doesn't require a lot of money to put yourself out there anymore with social media and stuff. Like, if you have good content, people will find it and it will get dispersed. And so whether or not they're pushing it hard enough or whether or not their content is creative enough, that's another thing. But it would be probably worth their while to just push more on social media in that way.
I think it's hard too. I think it's hard too during this pandemic times, because it's not like you can't really send a bunch of film crews to McFarland, you know, to McFarland or to Vasquez. It's just because you just can't, because, you know, COVID restrictions. And it's just,
you're right.
It's,
you know what they should do instead?
Tell me.
They should go to MMA Fighting's YouTube page and watch your behind the scenes,
yeah,
embedded style video instead.
Yeah. Well, even like just, but like, it just sucks because of COVID too. Because I was talking to Lima about right when she started camp. I was like, hey, Lima, I want to, and this is when we were kind of, at least as a nation, we were kind of coming to that second wave of, or mm-hmm. the first wave was ending. We thought, you know, we were in the clear for, you know, Corona. So I was like, hey, let me come down there. Let's do some training videos mm-hmm. with you, do some cool stuff and everything. And we were like, yeah, let's do that. We're all hyped about it. But then everything started getting bad again. So basically I called her and was like, yeah, I don't want to put you at risk. Obviously, I don't want you to put me at risk. And she was like, yeah, it sucks. So, and since, yeah, and Bellator just doesn't have that history with fans. So they just, yeah, it's just, it's hard to create new stuff during these times, I feel.
But I also feel like, I don't want to, you know, make any of our jobs obsolete here. But, I mean, cell phone footage. I just watched like a YouTube video of like Paige Van Zandt and her husband going to her husband's hometown. And they just like shot the whole thing. It was fun. It was interesting. Yeah, the audio shit. But like, who cares about that? The footage looks great. And in precedented times, like, here we go. Like, just start filming your stuff. Do like a little video blog. I mean, people watch that. People like to see what a fighter's day-to-day life looks like. You don't need a professional camera crew with you, especially now.
That's actually a really good point. Like, you could have Lima shoot things, and then also, then she sends the footage to Bellator, and they can edit it and make it look all snazzy. So, yeah, right. you make that's very good. That's very true. There's ways to work around it. And so, yes, Bellator does need to be more creative. Because they have amazing fighters, amazing personalities who are fighting too. And people need to know if you're a fight fan.
I want Bellator just put on one epic card at some point too. Like, just have like, just stack the main card with like every fighter we want to watch. Like the UFC, I think, like, for as much as like, oh, UFC versus Bellator, Bellator is doing what they can do. But like that December 19th card still rules, even without Hamza Shamaya versus Leon Edwards. Like every single fight, from the first fight to the last fight, I want to watch. It can't always say that with Bellator, if ever. Like, there are certain fights, like the Pitbull card was really good. But like this weekend's card, like, I'm tuning in because I want to watch Liam fight. I'll tune in to watch the AJ McKee, Darren Caldwell fight. Like, yeah, there's other, like Emmanuel Sanchez was fighting on that card too. But I don't know if people would tune in if Emmanuel Sanchez was the headliner. I just want to see like one stacked card from top to bottom that Bellator can put in that you cannot miss the fight all the way to the main event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, they need to kind of maybe sacrifice a weekly card to have a loaded card, because that is kind of a problem. Because I was looking at their main card, And while I love the main event, the rest of the main card, co-main event, everything, I was like, okay, you know, cool. You know, I'll
probably don't have Wikipedia pages, yeah. Right?
Well, no, well, they have a lot of good. I think this is someone I need to talk to, like Kaposa for. Like, he knows a lot of these like M1 guys or, you know, ABC guys from who are fighting in Europe and stuff, who are super good talents. So I just don't know very much about him because I have to watch 50 million UFC shows, which is good, but I miss out on a bunch of European talent I just don't know about. So yeah. Hopefully, maybe.
Remember when Bellator was doing those dynamites? Was that what they called it? Like, yeah, they would have that big tent pole event. Though, great. Yeah. They'd have like Tito Ortiz and Lee McGarry main event and then have a bunch of really awesome fights underneath it. Like, those are cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, yeah, Bellator is missing that big card. Yeah, not just one fight, but yeah, like three big fights. But times are tough for everyone. Thank you for your question, Mr. Baffer. All right,
or Bafer.
Bafer. Here we go.
Simon Crowfield again. Casey and Jose, how do you think? Why not Alex? Casey and Jose, how do you think a fight between Romero versus Rumble Johnson would go? And is there a chance Bellator might be downplaying Romero so they pay him less money than he wants? Well, I don't think they're going to pay Romero less money than he wants if they sign him, because Romero is represented by the Kawa brothers, correct? First round management?
Yes.
So I don't think they're going to allow their fighter to take a pay cut. They're one of those, you know, they represent some of the best fighters in the world. But how do I think Romero versus Rumble Johnson would go? Violently, if they want to exchange. But I don't think they're downplaying Romero just so they pay him less money than he wants.
If Coker, when he came out and said like Romero, he's lost four fights in a row or something like that, I think that would be trying to lower his price tag. But I think Coker, I think there's still a chance for Romero to go to Bellator. But think about when Coker was asked about that. That means that they were, because this came as a surprise to everyone. I'm assuming it came as a surprise to Bellator too. At that point, when that was happening, they were already in talks with Anthony Johnson behind the scenes. So they probably had a lot of money already. Okay, this is going to the Anthony Johnson, you know, fund. So maybe it was just bad timing for Romero to get released in that sense as for jumping up to Bellator, because they just threw a bunch of money at Anthony Johnson. So I don't know if Bellator can afford to sign both those guys right now. But even bigger than that, do you think Bellator doesn't want to sign any more quote-unquote UFC cast-offs, has-beens? Clearly Romero isn't that, but
I mean,
I feel like if you want to just go by numbers and, like, you know, I'm sure Dana's going to crap on, you know, Romero if he signs it. He's like, well, he lost two title fights. Is he really that good? I mean, clearly he is that good, but I don't know.
I get Bellator wanting to create their own stars. They don't just want like Rory McDonald's and Ryan Bader's to come in and win the title. And people are saying, oh, it's because UFC came in and UFC, look, clearly UFC is better because their ex fighters are winning championships. I get that. I think Romero still at least has a name and could put on awesome fights.
Absolutely.
But he is on the wrong side of 40. I don't know how much longer he wants to do this or what weight class he wants to do this in. If he wants to go into light heavyweight, like, there's a lot of fun fights for him to do there. Middleweight, there's obviously a lot of fun fights to do too. God. I don't know. I don't think he's going to go to one at all, because I think the Kawa brothers and Chatri had a few back and forth on Twitter when they didn't want James to try to do that thing where, like, oh, you can only be promoted by fight like agents that we
want.
Yeah. Like, they have to go through some course or some weird thing like that. He's not going to go to one championship. KSW, I don't think he's going to want. He's not going to go to KSW. He's not going to go to Cage Warriors. Ryzen, maybe.
I don't think
Ryzen. But if he goes to Bellator, he could fight at Ryzen anyway.
Dude, you know what, man? Because Ryzen does a lot of one-offs. Just, Ryzen has their New Year show coming right around the corner. Just put your Romero on that Ryzen card. Ain't no testing. Ain't got to worry about tainted supplements over there for that Ryzen card. They'll just throw you in there. And you just put him against, I don't know, there's a lot of people you could put him against. Some sumo guy. I don't know. Have a freak show fight. Yeah. Romero against that dude that lost to that lady in Russia, you know?
There you go. Fight Circus.
I would love to see that so much. Oh, my God. Fight Circus. Throw $150,000 Romero and just have about 20 dudes from the audience come in one in a row and just have Romero knock him out 20 guys in a row. No, not 20 in a row. That's ridiculous, but just knock out 20 dudes in a row. That'll be awesome. So violent.
I want Romero to be in a fight circus fight where you can only throw people. Like, you know how there was a Rochambeau yes. leg kick? But only throwing. Only physically throwing
Only
people.
Throws. Wow.
Only throws and suplexes.
Wow. Is Fight Circus the new bare knuckle? Instead of going bare knuckle, you just go to Fight Circus and do like...
I wish, dude.
Like Hector Lombard goes to Fight Circus, but he can only hit people with his giant butt.
What's the history with Fight Circus? Is this a new thing? Because I only just recently
it's
found
like
out about
the
it.
Third or, is it the third card they've had?
They just had their second. They just had their second, which was yeah. Fight Circus, Circus Harder or something like that.
Okay, so it is new.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's a time. It's a time.
Yeah.
Oh, and Alex, since you don't know very much about it, when you do look it up and do watch your events,
don't
make sure
do it. Around
make sure,
people.
Yeah, make sure you
no,
do
No, I watched
people.
The last event. Use I just wasn't sure if
incognito browser. Party. Yeah, just oh you did you did watch the last event.
I watched the last one. Not the last one, the first one.
So would you, okay. All right. What'd you think?
What did I think? Between the internet streaming quality and the quality of fights, I'm not sure I had a great time, but I respect what they're trying to do.
Everyone likes to have fun.
Yeah, except Alex Savage.
I said I'd, okay, you know.
Sure, sure. All right.
Eve the Hardcore Casual from at Casual Eve on Twitter. If you can make any matchup for 2021 that isn't already made, what fight would you make in the UFC? Pretty sure we had this question before.
Yeah.
So I don't think Alex was on the card. Well, on the card, on the show. Alex, if you can make one fight for 2021 that isn't already official, what do you make?
Okay. Based on my knowledge, Stipe Ngannou is not booked.
Nope.
I think that needs to happen. Not. That poor guy Ngannou, if he keeps complaining, he's going to be the next one cut. And then Shevchenko and Andrade, I think, would be the next one that I would do.
Give me non-championship
ones.
Championship ones are easy. Come on. Give me
non-championship. Okay, but I'm working off the, you know, tip of my hat here. You got to give me a break.
Who do you want to see next for Whitaker? No, you want to see Whitaker fight again? Oh, you want
Whitaker? I want Whitaker out of Sanya, obviously. Get your belt back, bro.
Bro.
I mean, I like if the fight, if Izzy wants to fight middleweight again, that's the only fight I want to watch right now.
Yeah. It's a different Whitaker. Trust me.
Whitaker Vittori would be fun.
Okay. People crap on interim belts. I don't care about interim belts because I'm about guys getting paid more money or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it should guarantee a title shot. So if Izzy mm-hmm. goes to 205 and finally signs a contract to fight Jan, if they do an interim middleweight belt, Whitaker versus Vittori sounds pretty awesome.
100%. That fight rules.
I think that's good.
I love that fight.
I think good trash talk. You know, Vittori, you know, got a good win, you know.
Vittori just gets all worked up over nothing, and Whitaker's just like,
okay. Yeah. Right.
Vittori is in Jacksonville. I've told the story. I was in Jacksonville when Vittori's fight fell out, like in the hotel. I am pretty confident I was on the same, not just the same floor, but like the same wing of the Jacksonville Hotel. And oh my God, I could hear that man from like 10 doors down screaming at the top of his lungs about losing his fight and confronting Carl Roberson down by the elevator. So yeah, talk about a contrast of personalities, but two awesome fighters. Vittori Whitaker for an interim belt, I am all in favor for 100%. Sign me up.
Yeah,
and Cannonier can fight Costa.
Dream fight. I want Ryan Hall to get a freaking top 10 fight. Ryan Hall versus Zombie. Let's make it happen.
I think Zombie will fight Zabit now that
I know. Probably gonna be on the shelf. Who's gonna fight Ryan Hall? Who's a top 10 fighter that will fight Ryan Hall?
A 145, Bryce Mitchell.
Is he top 10 yet?
He's top 15.
Oh, sorry, I'm just cursing there. It's like
Bryce Mitchell, but Bryce Mitchell at least has a name because you like, hey, he said a bunch of stuff after his last fight. Ryan Hall is the exact opposite and is taking this pandemic super seriously. So there you got that angle. You got Ryan Hall and Bryce Mitchell. Like Bryce Mitchell is just a character, and Ryan Hall is a character for completely different reasons. So they're both awesome grapplers. I think that would be a fun scrap. 100%.
If Ryan Hall doesn't get his top, doesn't get his wish and fight a top 10 fighter, yeah, the Bryce Mitchell one is the way to go, I think. Even though I'm not down for grappler versus grappler, but I am down for that one though. And speaking of grappler versus grappler, let's talk about the best fight of the weekend.
Who you got winning on the prelim Saturday night? Dern or Jandaroba? Billy Q versus Gavin Tucker? Casey, we're going to go to you second so you can have all the time in the world you want to talk about the first fight, because I don't think you have as many thoughts on Billy Q and Gavin Tucker. Alex, who you think wins between Mackenzie Dern and Verna Jandaroba or Billy Quarantillo and Gavin Tucker?
I don't really have any opinion on Billy, but I think Mackenzie Dern gets it done. She's been looking really good lately. I don't know. Her head just seems more focused, and she did really well in her last fight. So I'm going to pick Mackenzie Dern.
Man.
What?
Jandaroba rules.
Have you seen Jandaroba's last three performances in the UFC, young lady? She has been.
Don't you young lady me. I will hang up.
Man, I am so hyped for Dern Jandaroba. I'm shocked the UFC booked this fight, because I believe Jandaroba will defeat Dern and defeat her at her own game. And it's going to be one of those things that it's going to be a hard fight to come back from for Dern. Because I think that's what she – if once you kind of lose at what you're known for, then I don't know.
I disagree.
Okay.
Disagree, because Charles Oliveira has been submitted a bunch in the UFC, and people still view him as like the man when it comes to submissions.
But he's on a super. But
Oliver, he's been tapped by Jim Miller and Anthony Pettis. He's been tapped by Jim Miller and Anthony Pettis.
I feel like that was such a. That was like 19-year-old Charles Oliveira. I feel like he's been around so long. But I don't think Dern is going to have that longevity in the sport. Maybe I could be wrong. But especially because Dern came from such high level jiu-jitsu accolades. So I feel like. Izzy losing by submission or getting ground and pounded or whatever, we could kind of see. But if Izzy just gets pieced up on his feet and just gets kicked to death, you know, we're like, oh, wow, maybe he isn't, you know, I don't know. I just think Jandaroba is amazing. And I think she will be fighting for a title at the end of 2001. 2001. That's how good she is. The 4-year-old version of her will come out.
this fight rules. Jandaroba, I think, is just some. Also, I think Jandaroba is just a more complete MMA fighter.
I agree. I think so too.
But if they were going to grapple, like, also, we see a lot of grappler versus grappler fights just end up being a striking battle because, you know, neither of them take the other person down. But anyway, Billy Q, Gavin Tucker, who do you think wins, Casey?
I like Billy Q a lot. I think Billy Quarantillo. I think she won. I really enjoy his fighting style, and I think he's a very well-rounded fighter. But that's just a good scrap. I don't know. I have no definitive opinion on that. I just want to see it.
I am picking Gavin Tucker. Tucker's been on a roll, man. Back-to-back submission wins. After taking, because he had a huge layoff, like almost 2-year layoff. One of the most tattooed men in the entire UFC too. So real tough scrap. I think this is the sleeper pick for fight of the night. But Billy Q's coming off that win over Spike Carlisle, if I remember correctly.
No, yeah, he actually has one after that. Yeah.
Who did you beat?
Hold on one moment, sir. Kyle Nelson. Knocked out Kyle Nelson.
That's right. I remember that. So two awesome fighters. I'm going to pick Gavin Tucker just to be different, but it's 50-50 in my mind. I was at his fight against Spike Carlisle when Spike Carlisle decided to turn around and walk away. That didn't win fight of the night. I told Dana White that, and he was like, "You saying I got that wrong?" I'm like,
"Oh yeah, that was the night when he announced the fight of the night, and I think everyone in the media room just went like a confused Labrador."
Yeah, and I asked Dana about that. So he goes, "You telling me that I got that wrong?" I'm like, "Yeah," and he goes, "So that bums me out." So then after that is when he started to tweet, "Hey fans, who do you think's fight of the night?" Like after that, after he got that one wrong.
Oh, we got some.
Thank you for the question. We're almost. It's also 12:02, so we've gone over time.
Okay, you know what? Let's fly through the final questions. We got people gave us questions on Twitter, so I want to answer them. Here we go, real quick.
Similar to AP, UPI, why isn't there an independent journalistic rank system for the UFC that could gain steam and eventually become the gold standard? Wouldn't take much and would certainly be useful for lazy column inches, i.e. two guys argue why they differ in their rankings. Well, I think it's because I'll answer this one. MMA Junkie are the other site, the other major site. I think they have their own rankings in general. That they use the USA Today rankings, and well, they did for years. They might still do it. Actually, no, they definitely do it. And then MMA Fighting has been talking about having their own rankings for a very long time. So I don't know. It would be great. I think a lot of people would have to come together, because I think the AP polls and like college football and all that stuff are awesome. So yeah, it would be great. It would just take a lot of people to come together.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's hard. It's harder than it sounds. Because I don't think.
Yeah, you'd also need one. You also need some sort of body, because like AP, Associated Press, has thousands of reporters all over the country. MMA Fighting has like 10. MMA Junkie has like 10. There's no,
I think,
like,
people don't realize how small the companies are. Like, even when I started MMA Fighting, I was expecting like a plethora of crew, and it's a very small, and most of them are the MMA media sites are very small operations. So
yeah,
right.
Honestly, Mr. Moore.
Thomas Moore.
I would love that. That's something we're working on. So we would like that. I don't know if we can do all the media rankings, but as far as like site, like I think Ring Magazine has their own rankings, something like that. Like, I would love for
MMA Ring Magazine has their own belt.
Yeah, their own belt, yeah. So I wouldn't mind. I don't know about our own championship belt, and that's something totally different. But
also, I'm pretty sure Ring Magazine is 100 years old, so yeah. They have tenor.
Okay, but that sounds like a great idea. You know, but I would love a media rankings, a true media rankings, and I would also love a coaches ranking where coaches, we have like 20 coaches or whatever.
They do that in college football, yeah, too. College football. I don't think you can vote for your own team.
That's the only thing. Yeah, you can't vote for your own team. But I just think that'd be awesome. Or even a player's ranking. Like, I don't know. A fighter's ranking. I don't know. I'd like to see something else rather than whatever the UFC rankings is, because that's something that's neither. It's technically media rankings, but it's not. Just be kind of honest about that. But yeah, I would love that. All right, next question.
Terrence Leverett, do you believe Bellator, PFL, et cetera, are being clout chasers by publicly dismissing UFC release fighters after Dana bashed them? Corey, Anthony, no one knew until it happened. Do you think Bellator and PFL don't want to be viewed as retirement home for unwanted UFC fighters? Casey asked a similar question not too long ago himself, so I don't know. They're signing fighters coming off big wins, like Verdum just signed to PFL. Corey Anderson was coming off a loss, but he was still like one of the top fighters at light heavyweight. Anthony Johnson, still one of the top fighters at light heavyweight. So I don't know. But we've seen the data in, well, not data. We've seen this narrative before in the world of professional wrestling, where WCW back in the late 90s, early 2000s, basically every cast off in WWF at the time got that big money check from WCW, and then it blew up in their faces because they had a bunch of old men wrestling and WWF was trying new things, and who's still around. AEW in current wrestling does not want to be the big cast off either. But then again, they're signing Sting in 2020. So I don't know if that narrative is going to happen anytime soon. But that is not another conversation down the road. So I don't know. That's my answer.
I'm not sure what clout chasers are, but Bellator is signing the fighters they want to sign and at the price they feel is worth it. And no, they don't want to be known as, you know, the unwanted UFC fighters, but I don't think Corey Anderson, I don't think Rory McDonald, I don't think Ben Henderson are considered like unwanted UFC fighters. I just think those are fighters who felt they deserve more money. So, and deserve to be treated better. So, the Anthony Johnson one is weird, that but the UFC not signing him. So, you know, there's something going on behind the scenes with that one. That was a weird one. But Ram Romero is clearly just a money thing, I think.
Leon_Forrest on Twitter. How much, if at all, do you think the back-to-back weight cuts will affect Davidson?
Close enough.
When Tony did it appear to affect him, though we don't know that for sure. So Davidson Figueiredo is who he's referring to. Of course, fought most recently at UFC 255. And now he's fighting at UFC 256. He'd become the first UFC champion to defend his title back-to-back months. Alex, I'll start with you because on our site, you are more fascinated by official weigh-ins than anyone else on the site. Maybe Alex Bailey. He's also really into it. Do you think back-to-back weight cuts in 21 days will play a massive effect on Davidson Figueiredo, who basically, you've seen him weigh in. Doesn't look like he has much else to lose when he hits the scale of 125.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess this is a question that none of us could really answer. I mean, who knows?
Right.
I mean, he did miss weight once, and we don't really know all the extenuating circumstances. There could be a million reasons why somebody misses weight. Not that any of it is an excuse, but I'm just saying you don't know what's going on. I don't think the back-to-back weight cut's going to be fun, but the day after that fight was like pretty much when they knew that this was a potential possibility. I'm guessing he's probably kept his weight pretty low since then. Yeah, he rehydrated after the first weight cut, but I'm guessing he's been very careful as to not put on any extra weight since then. So we'll see.
Yeah, and he's also stayed in Las Vegas and has been training exclusively at the UFC PI, I think. So, like, if you're a UFC fighter, you can go to the PI whenever you want. There's, like, a chef there that'll help make your food. There's all the medical stuff that they can do. Figueiredo also said after he became champ, he invested a ton into his nutrition and health so he could get his weight cut on check. He said he would be fine with it. Brandon Randall said he would be fine with it. But we won't know until Friday, where you can watch our official weigh-in stream on this YouTube channel.
Yeah, we got
Philip Davidson.
Yeah. All right.
Davidson.
Man, just my two cents on the comments page. Hating on Janjaroba. Man. All right, bro.
or girl.
Girl. Bra. All right, bra.
Or they.
I saw a question. Before we go, I want to
Casey, do you know who Jay Electronic is?
I know the name. I can't really think of anything in particular though.
Oof. Well, he is a really good MC and probably lyrically one of the best people on planet. And when Andres and Ant were on the show last week, people compared him to Ryan Hall in the MMA world. And I've not been able to stop thinking about it for the last week.
Jay Electronica is Ryan Hall.
Jay Electronica, because he disappeared for 10 years. Oh, John Deegan, I apologize for my mispronunciation. Figgy Moreno are considered safe from COVID, right? They are in the Vegas bubble, constantly training at the UCPI, allegedly, but I'm not following them around, so I have no idea where they are. I think they're both staying somewhere. Like I know Moreno had like a house, I think, from when they showed on the embedded, like he was staying like his manager and training partner somewhere. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. There is no Vegas bubble, by the way. There's no such thing. There's no such thing.
It's not like Abu Dhabi where they close the streets off.
Or the NBA where it's just like a whole, whatever, like a.
No one in, no one out is a bubble.
Yeah.
There's no bubble.
There's no bubble. The UFC is just going hopefully common sense. But of course, the UFC in their own promotional footage, they show Figgy, maskless, getting a haircut, doing his hair and everything with a barber, not wearing a mask. So to me, that just doesn't make any sense because you have potentially millions of dollars on the line, Mr. Figgy Smalls.
Doesn't like that name.
He doesn't?
No. He said, if people like it, fine, but it's not his favorite.
You know what? You know who said that too? Bobby Knuckles.
Yeah.
He was all about it. But last time we interviewed him, Mike, we interviewed him with Mike Keck on What the Heck, he was wearing a Bobby Knuckles shirt. So
yeah,
he'll learn the love. He'll learn. You will learn the
Doesn't his other one, Alex, the one that you like, like the R, doesn't that have like a scythe on it? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, it's the coolest logo. It's an RW with like, it's the coolest thing. I mean, graphic design just at its finest. You got to appreciate
it. It's also like, if you want to buy it, Casey, because they come from Australia or New Zealand, it's like a $90 shirt.
I've almost pulled the trigger like four times.
It's like $50 with $50 in shipping.
Yeah. It's going to fit all weird. Like, oh man, I spent $100 for a weird sitting t-shirt. So answer your question, Mr. John. Are they considered safe from COVID? Well, there's no bubble, and let's just hope for the best. Cross our fingers. That's all I can say. Hope those men stay safe. Ooh, I don't want to say. All right, we're good, man.
That's a wrap. So thank you everyone for tuning in to another episode of the ASI Live Chat here on MMAfighting.com. I am Jose Youngs. I don't have a whole lot to say, so Alex, I'll start with you. What do you want to say before we sign off?
Okay, you know I'm never prepared for these.
No, that's why I start with you.
You've had all week to get ready for this.
All week? I found out, yes.
No, you can't. No.
Yeah. I should just have these ready to go.
Yeah.
Listen, I have nothing to plug. Have a happy and safe holiday, everybody, if I don't talk to you before then.
You can plug your SoundCloud or anything?
Don't have one. Check out my beats.
Casey, what do you got to say?
I'm excited for the fights this weekend. I just hope, as much as I've been a bit of a Debbie Downer because of the corona situation in the country right now, I hope all the fights make it through for the next 2 weeks, and I hope Bellator has a good show, and I just hope we finish these last 2 weeks on a positive note. And I'm looking forward to ending this year and getting a fresh start for 2021.
I agree. I'll be driving up to Vegas tomorrow. Oh, yeah. I'll be there for like the 2 days, so you can watch the weigh-in stream. We'll have the virtual media day one here. We'll have virtual media day two tomorrow. We'll have Bellator stuff. We'll have preview show, post-fight shows. They're all there. Also, I'm going to ask, does anyone have Irredeemable Volume 4 Premier Hardcover Edition they want to part ways with? Because I don't want to spend a lot of money for it. So if anyone wants to hit me up, hit me up. Anyway, I'm Jose. That's Alex. That's Casey. We'll see you next Wednesday.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.